Saruman paused as the servant came over, placing a plate in my hands. No formal service this time. I relaxed. "And your own fate?" I said. "When Madding and the others get free, I doubt they'll be very forgiving of their treatment. They're immortal. You can't hold them forever." Though, if she could somehow kill them, that rendered my argument moot. "True," she said. "And how convenient you mention this fact, as it's the cause of the mess we find ourselves in now." I blinked, realizing she was no longer talking about Madding and the others, but another set of captive gods. "You mean the Aramaris gods, the Night Lord, their ridiculous target." "Not just the Night Lord, but also Sia the Trickster. It took all my self-control not to start at this. Kurue the Wise, and Jacarn of the Blood. It was inevitable they would find their way to freedom eventually. Perhaps the millennia they spent imprisoned didn't even seem like a long time to them. They are endlessly patient, our gods. But they never forget a wrong, and they never let that wrong go unpunished." "Do you blame them? If I had power and someone harmed me, I'd get back at them too." "So would I. So have I. On more than one occasion." I heard her cross her legs. "But any person on whom I sought vengeance would be equally within her rights to try and defend herself. That's all we're doing here, Lady Ori. Defending ourselves." "Against one of the three." I shook my head and decided to try honesty. "I'm sorry. But if you're trying to convert me by appealing to street logic or whatever you think motivates us lowly common folk, then there's a flaw in your reasoning. Where I come from, if someone that powerful is angry with you, you don't fight back. You make amends as best you can, or you go into hiding and never come out. And meanwhile, you pray that no one you care about gets hurt." "Aramari do not hide, Lady Ori. We do not make amends. Not when we believe our actions to have been correct. Those are the ways of Bright Etempus, after all." "And look where that got him," I almost said. But I held my tongue. I had no idea whether Shiny was all right, or where he was. If he had managed to escape, I had little hope he would bother to help us. But on the off chance that he might, I didn't intend to tell the New Lights about him. "I think I should warn you," I said, "that I don't consider myself much of an Etempan." Saruman was silent for a moment. "I'd wondered about that. You left home at the age of 16, the year your father died, wasn't it? Only a few weeks after the Grey Lady's ascension." I stiffened. "How in the gods' names did you know that?" "We investigated you when you first came to our attention. It wasn't difficult. There aren't many towns on the Nemero Reservation, after all, and your blindness makes you memorable. Your Whitehall priest reported that you enjoyed arguing with him during lessons as a child." She chuckled. "Somehow that doesn't surprise me." My stomach twisted, threatening to return my meal. They had gone to my village? Spoken with my priest? Would they threaten my mother now? "Please, Lady Ori, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to alarm you. We mean you no harm, nor anyone in your family." There was the clink of a teapot and the sound of liquid pouring. "You'll understand if I find that hard to believe." I found a table beside my chair and set my plate on it. "Nevertheless, it's true." She leaned forward and put something in my hands, a small cup of tea. I held it tightly to conceal my shaking fingers. "Your priest thinks you left Nemero because you lost your faith. Is that true?" "That priest was my mother's priest, lady. Far more than he ever was mine. And neither of them knew me very damned well." My voice was just a hair too loud for polite conversation. Anger had frayed my self-control. I took a deep breath and tried again to mimic her calm, cultured manner of speaking. "You can't lose faith you never had to begin with." "Ah, so you never believed in the Bright at all?" "Of course I believed. Even now I believe in principle. But when I was 16, I saw the hypocrisy in all the things the priest had taught me. It's all very well to say the world values reason and compassion and justice, but if nothing in reality reflects those words, they're meaningless. Since the gods' war, the world has enjoyed the longest period of peace and prosperity in its history. My people were once as wealthy and powerful as the Amun, Lady Saruman. Now we're refugees, without even a homeland to call our own, forced to rely on Aramiri charity. There have been losses, true, Saruman conceded. I believe those are outweighed by the gains. I was suddenly angry, furious with her. I had heard Saruman's arguments from my mother, my priest, friends of the family, people I loved and respected. I had learned to endure my anger without protest because my feelings were upsetting to them. But in my heart, truly, I had never understood how they could be so blind. How many nations and races have the Aramiri wiped out of existence, I demanded. How many heretics have been executed? How many families slaughtered? How many poor people have been beaten to death by the order keepers for the crime of not knowing our place? Hot droplets of tea sloshed onto my fingers. The bright is your peace, your prosperity, not anyone else's. Ah. Saruman's soft voice cut through my anger. Not just lost faith, but broken faith. The bright has failed you, and you reject it in turn. I hated her patronizing, sanctimonious, knowing tone. You don't know anything about it. I know how your father died. I froze. She continued, oblivious to my shock. 10 years ago, on the very day, it seems, that the Grey Lady's powers swept the world, your father was in the village market. Everyone felt something that day. You didn't need magical abilities to sense that something momentous had just occurred. She paused, as if waiting for me to speak. I held myself rigid, so she went on. But it was only your father, out of all the people in the market, who burst into tears and fell to the ground, singing for joy.